Chapter 2.
Saturday morning was come, and all the summer world was bright and fresh and brimming with life. There was a song in every heart, and if the heart was young, the music issued at the lips. There was cheer in every face, and a spring in every step. The locust trees were in bloom, and the fragrance of the blossoms filled the air. Cardiff Hill, beyond the village and above it, was green with vegetation, and it lay just far enough away to seem a delectable land, dreamy, reposeful, and inviting. Tom appeared on the sidewalk with a bucket of whitewash and a long-handled brush. He surveyed the fence, and the gladness went out of nature, and a deep melancholy settled down upon his spirit. 30 yards of broad fence, 9 feet high. It seemed to him that life was hollow and existence but a burden. Sighing, he dipped his brush and passed it along the topmost plank, repeated the operation, did it again, compared the insignificant whitewash streak with the far-reaching continent of unwhitewashed fence, and sat down on a tree box discouraged. Jim came skipping out at the gate with a tin pail and singing Buffalo Gals. Bringing water from the town pump had always been hateful work in Tom's eyes before, but now it did not strike him so. He remembered that there was company at the pump. White, mulatto, and Negro boys and girls were always there waiting their turns, resting, trading playthings, quarreling, fighting, skylarking. And he remembered that although the pump was only 150 yards off, Jim never got back with a bucket of water under an hour, and even then somebody generally had to go after him. Tom said, "Say, Jim, I'll fetch the water if you'll whitewash some." Jim shook his head and said, "Can't, Master Tom. Old missus, she told me I got to go and get this water and not stop fooling around with anybody. She says she spec Master Tom gone to ax me to whitewash, and so she told me to go along and tend to my own business. She allowed she tended to whitewashing." "Oh, never you mind what she said, Jim. That's the way she always talks. Give me the bucket. I won't be gone only a minute. She won't ever know." "Oh, I dassen, Master Tom. Old missus, she'd taken tar the head off'n me. 'Deed she would. She never licks anybody. Wax 'em over the head with her thimble, and who cares for that, I'd like to know? She talks awful, but talk don't hurt. Anyways, it don't if she don't cry. Jim, I'll give you a marble. I'll give you a white alley." Jim began to waver. "White alley, Jim, and it's a bully toe. My, that's a mighty gay marvel, I tell you. But, Master Tom, I's powerful afraid of old missus." But Jim was only human. This attention was too much for him. He put down his pail, took the white alley. In another minute, he was flying down the street with his pail and a tingling rear. Tom was whitewashing with vigor, and Aunt Polly was retiring from the field with a slipper in her hand and triumph in her eye.